Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 10, verses 8 through 18. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of great good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, the one we must proclaim to all the lost of this world, dear fellow redeemed, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Those words written by King David several thousands of years ago are still so appropriate to us today. We as believers have tasted the sweet gospel message of our salvation. We've been led to see the love of our God for us. How our Heavenly Father loved us so much that he sent his Son into this world to take our place. With eyes of faith, we've seen our Savior live for us, suffer and die for us, rise again for us. But not all have tasted and seen. How many of you, when you were little children, had your parents coax you, encourage you, and finally command you to eat the food that you turned your nose up on simply because it looked different, smelled kind of awful, and had a funny consistency in your mouth? But then when you tasted it, you found out it was pretty good. Bless those parents who stood their ground and made their children try a new dish. Well, the point is that if you didn't taste that food, if you didn't try that food, you'd never know how good it was. Similarly, if you've never tasted the Lord's goodness, if you've never spiritually digested the Lord's words, you would never know how good God is to you. Thankfully, we have tasted. Thankfully, we've been led to see. Some of us from infants on, others maybe in your teenage years, maybe others in your adult mature years. But what about the countless millions upon millions of people in this world who have not tasted God's word, who have not seen Jesus' love? Here's some very sobering facts. By the time you come to church again next Sunday to hear God's word and to worship him, there'll be 1 million more lost souls in this world. Every 24 hours, over 200,000 people die in this world, and the majority of them without faith in Jesus Christ. Every minute, 140 people die. By the time this sermon is finished with, 2,800 people will have passed from time into eternity. The majority of them without faith in Jesus Christ. Those sobering and shocking facts show us the immediate necessity of getting the word out, of telling others about Jesus Christ. This morning, as we complete our study of Paul's letter to the Romans in our sermon series, we see that Paul asks four very important questions in verses 14 and 15. These are the four questions. First, he says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? And the answer to all four of those questions is they cannot. This morning, as we look at this sermon text, we need to ask ourselves three important questions concerning our mission work for Christ. The first question is, does God want all to be saved? Second question, do all need the gospel preached to them? And third question, what can I do? The first question, does God want all to be saved? The answer is obviously, yes, he does. He tells us that very clearly. When Adam and Eve fell into sin and disobeyed God and ate the forbidden fruit, they brought upon themselves and all of future mankind death and damnation in hell. And God immediately promised them a Savior there in the garden. And for the next 4,000 years, he made promises, he made prophecies concerning that Savior's coming. The Apostle Paul, in our text, quotes two of those prophets, Isaiah and Joel. He says, whoever believes on him, on the Messiah, will not be put to shame. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jehovah shall be saved. Then when the time was right, the Heavenly Father sent his Son into this world. Fulfilled that promise he made 4,000 years earlier. Sent Jesus to battle Satan for us. To live a perfect life for us. To suffer and die and pay for the guilt and punishment of your sins and mine by his death and damnation on the cross. To rise from the dead for us, to ascend into heaven for us, to give to us everlasting life. And so Paul writes in verses 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If we believe in our heart the Lord Jesus, then it will naturally come forth as a confession from our lips and our mouths. This is God's sincere desire that all be saved. And so God sent his Son to redeem all of mankind. Every single person ever from the beginning of time to the end of time has been redeemed, their sins paid for in full by Jesus, and they're all saved by believing in Christ. Paul understood this, and that was his great desire too. In verse 1 of chapter 10, he wrote, brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. We heard that last Sunday, how Paul's urgency and great desire for the unbelieving Israelites led him to say, I'd like to be damned if they'd all be saved. He knew the necessity, the great necessity of proclaiming that one thing needful, Christ's work for us. Christ's suffering, Christ's death, Christ's shed blood, the only way to everlasting life. And that's because the answer to the second question is, do all need the gospel preached to them? Definitely, yes. Because if you don't have the gospel preached to you or read by you, then faith cannot be worked in your heart. We heard last week that Paul wrote in the first chapter of this book that the gospel is the power of God to salvation to all, to everyone who believes. He knew that the power for creating faith in the hearts of individuals came only through the word. It's not from us. Yes, we have a natural knowledge of God. And that is that everybody knows that God exists. We know that through our conscience, through creation. It's a natural knowledge. But that knowledge of God doesn't tell us how we, the sinner, can stand before the righteous God, perfect and righteous as God demands of us. That knowledge of God doesn't tell us how we can escape that just punishment that we deserve because of our sins. They can only be found in the gospel. So let's go back to those four questions that Paul asked in verses 14 and 15. Mankind cannot call upon someone that they don't believe in. And mankind cannot believe in someone that they've never heard of. And man cannot hear of that someone unless they've been told. And those who tell can't go out and tell unless they've been sent. So applying it to us, there's no calling about Jesus if we don't believe in Jesus. And there's no believing in Jesus if you've never heard of Jesus. Jesus did everything we needed for our salvation. It's all done. He did it all when he died on the cross and rose from the dead. And yet, so many, many people in this world have never heard about Jesus. They've never heard the gospel message of salvation. It's like the food. If it's never been laid before you, if you've ever been encouraged or forced to eat it, you'd have no knowledge of how good it is for you. So also the gospel message has not been brought to you. If you've not been brought in contact with the gospel message of salvation, you'd have no knowledge of what Jesus has done for you. No experiencing the joy, the sweet joy of sins forgiven, of peace with God, of the assurance of everlasting life, that everything in this world is going to work out for our welfare, our eternal good, everything. And then eventually, an eternity in heaven. That leads us to our third question. Where do we come in? What can I do? Well, we've tasted, we've seen the Word of God. People, either our parents, or maybe a Christian friend, maybe a pastor, told us about Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit worked faith in our hearts to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, to put all of our trust and confidence in one way to salvation, and that is alone through Jesus Christ. And now the Lord has called you individually to be the one to tell others about what you know, so that they too can have the same saving faith. There's a story of a man who was talking to his friend, and he said, "You know, we got a stained glass window in our church, and it is so beautiful when the sun is brightly shining." And his friend said, "Oh, that's funny. I've gone by your church many, many times. When I look at that window, I don't see that at all. In fact, it looks pretty dull, kind of black." And the man said, "Well, that's because you need to come inside in order to see it with the sun shining behind it. You need to come inside in order to see what God is really like. You need to come into his word, into his gospel, to see his love, his grace, his mercy in Christ Jesus." Have we invited the world inside? Have we invited our friends, our fellow workers, our classmates, our relatives, our neighbors, to come to hear the word, to taste and see how wonderful Jesus is for us? That they can see Christ's love. As we heard, Paul's overwhelming sadness was because his own brothers and sisters, Jews, fellow Jews, for the most part, the majority, rejected Jesus Christ. Well, look at our fellow people, our fellow Americans, around here in Middleton and Madison and Cross Plains and Fitchburg and Sun Prairie, Stoughton, Wanakee. How many of them have never heard the gospel? How many of them need to hear that gospel message so that they too can believe. They see God from the outside. They see God from their own natural knowledge. Or maybe what the world says about God. And they think of God as being, well, kind of mean, nasty, because, you know, he hurts people. Or they think he can't do what he says he's going to do because people die and there's all kinds of terrible things that are going on in this world. They have all kinds of wrong impressions of what God is like. They haven't come inside to see from the gospel message how much God loves everyone, every single person, and what Jesus Christ has done for them. That must be shown to them. They must be brought into contact with the law and gospel. And that's our calling. Not just on a special mission festival Sunday, not just by me as a called pastor who gets paid to do this, but by every single one of us as God's children, as believers in Christ. If we all would speak to our neighbors, our friends, our relatives, our loved ones, strangers, about Jesus Christ, if we would all give the invitation, come and see, come and taste your Savior Jesus Christ and hear his word, if we'd all pray for the gospel message to be spread, if we'd all be on fire for Christ, what an abundant harvest of souls for Christ there would be. You and I, Paul began this section in the very first verse of our text by saying this, but what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. You and I have tasted that word of God. May we be motivated and led by the Holy Spirit to go out and bring that spiritual food to others that we know, so that they too can taste and see that the Lord is good, and then call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.